thanks to the Forum 6 Tamworth and Wagga Wagga and the Odeon 5 Orange. It's the Talking Flickster podcast with JT and Grant Lee.
Hi, we're back. After a week off, the Flickster has returned. JT here and Grant Lee. Hello, Mr. Lee.
Hello, JT. Oh, yeah, how nice was it just to have that one week off?
Well, I've got to say, I mean, I did miss you because...
Yeah, me too.
Usually
miss
Fridays...
Myself. Week, well, oh, sorry, you.
Okay, that's fine. vain much. Yeah, and because usually Fridays, you know what it's like. We get together nice and early and we do this podcast and... Yeah, you know, and I've got to say, I didn't get to see you, so it was a little bit sad.
It was. Yeah. But we did catch up yesterday, so that was good.
That was good. It was good to see you again, yes.
Yeah,
and we're back today with a new Talking Flickster to do a massive movie, which is He-Man. So, Masters of the Universe, this adventure, fantasy, sci-fi. Is this your genre, Mr. Lee? Is this where you...
Yeah, I never really got into it, but it was around back in the 80s. Because was it 83 when it first came out? I think it was somewhere around there. And I do remember it, but I was more $6 Million Man. That was more my style. I like that, so...
Well, this one's huge, and
But everyone knows the story. Like, even if you hadn't seen the cartoons or other movies, people know He-Man.
Definitely. Well, you're looking at about a 170 mil to 200 mil budget. So I'm looking forward to finding out whether or not that paid off. I'm sure it did. It just looks good, doesn't it? Looks good, sounds good. Anybody that likes sci-fi, I think, will really enjoy this one.
Oh, absolutely. And I think Nicholas Galitzine or something, I think he's the perfect role to play He-Man, you know, the blonde hair, because that was He-Man, you know, like he was, that's what he looked like. And Idris Elba, I think he was brilliant as casting for Man-at-Arms.
And Jared Leto as well, so.
Yes, yeah. Which he plays, as I said in the past, you know, he plays a great role. Now, Alison... Brie, do you remember her?
Yeah.
She was Marvel, and now she's playing a bit of a villain.
I love it when they mix things up, although you can always see them as their original role, right? So it's hard.
Yes.
Masters of the Universe, is it, you know, what does Netflix think? Is this going to be a hit or is it going to be a flop? I'm sure it's going to be a hit. We'll find out after this.
When you hold the magic sword, what do you say?
By the power of Grayskull.
Go on.
I have the power!
Now you're ready.
It seems the prodigal prince has returned.
I am a devil. I mean to be a god.
What am I supposed to do?
You are he who will restore peace to Eternia.
Skeletor took my family, and he destroyed our world.
I'm gonna fight for it.
Mechanic. And Ramman.
Hell yeah!
And you, Fisto!
Mr. Allen!
It's Adam, dude!
Hey, put your neck away.
Let me show you what real power looks like.
The time for talk is over.
You can help me with this?
Whoa. It is quite heavy, so if you could just...
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, the action of Masters of the Universe. Let's talk about it with our Flickster. Welcome back to Talking Flicks, the wonderful Eli.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Hello, mates.
Hey.
Clap, Mr. Lee.
Welcome back.
Clap,
please. Welcome back. I am clapping. I am.
Much better. Yeah. You never clap for the Flickster. Every week.
I'm sorry, because I think it affects with the Doesn't it affect the sound guy?
No. With his,
no? Okay, right.
Not at all. Don't be rude. Don't be disrespectful.
I think of the sound guy. I think the producer. Like, you know, they're all sitting there and, you know, nothing worse than someone claps really loud.
Do you know what I hear? All I hear is excuses, okay? That's all I hear.
Okay.
So, anyway, this is about Eli. Don't steal his moment, okay? How have you been, my friend?
I've been well. I'm just cruising through life. How about you guys?
We're good.
Yeah, doing the same.
And I do apologize. I know it's kind of like mum and dad arguing, you know, like I do get that. But that's okay. You'll get used to it.
Oh, I'm sure he is used to us already. It's good to have you back anyway. Yes. Like, really good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Yeah. Did we send you off to see a good movie? That is the question. I'm hoping we did. Masters of the Universe. Now, firstly, before we get into this, what were your thoughts heading into this movie? Was it one that you wanted to go and see?
Originally, it wasn't, just because I knew little to nothing about Masters of the Universe and the He-Man. And just, I did watch an episode before I went and watched it, and I'm like, oh, this kind of looks a little bit silly. And then I saw people coming out going, that was really fun. That was a really good movie. So I'm like, maybe my expectations will go up. And I was pleasantly surprised when I walked out of the theater.
Isn't that a great thing? I love it when people aren't expecting too much. And then you go in, you watch the movie, and you just go, wow, that is so much better than I thought it was going to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise.
Which is a great thing. So you're not into He-Man and all that, as you just said. Tell me a little bit about the movie. What did you get out of it?
Well, I wasn't interested in He-Man, but after this movie, I'm going to have to do a little bit of research because I can't tell you how thoroughly I enjoyed this movie.
Now, one thing I did notice from the trailer that really got me was the visual effects, the production design. It looks so good. Now, I want to know how that came across on the big screen, because I reckon you would have been blown away, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was phenomenal. Like, they captured the land of Eternia brilliantly, and like all the different landscapes. And there's like a snake lava castle that looked awesome. And just, it all looked real. Like, none of it looked like, oh, that's just CGI or that's just bad editing. I'm like, oh, this is something people could get behind and go, yeah, that looks real. I could live there or something like that.
I wonder what it'd be like in 3D.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it could be better in 3D. It probably would be better in 3D because the landscapes are just immaculate.
Which is what you want. Okay, so tell me, what did you think of Nicholas playing He-Man, Prince Adam?
Well, at first he's playing, and this is a kind of like a movie cliche where it adapts things like this, where it's like they start in the real world or they're based in the real world and no one cares about them or no one knows about them. And I've just kind of grown sick of that, but thankfully they don't spend too much time. But in the beginning on Earth, he's this dorky dude no one believes is like crazy. Like, they all think he's crazy just because he's come from this alien world. This sword will give him his powers back, and like, yeah, that's cool. And then as soon as he gets that first transformation with the I have the power and the power of Grayskull, he is just perfect to play He-Man.
Because he was looking everywhere for his sword, wasn't he? Because I don't know what and where the sword was, but he was looking and people were thinking, why? What are you doing? Why are you so fascinated with the sword?
Yeah, exactly. And then when he does get the sword and he's sent back to his homeworld, it's just, you look at the screen and go, that is He-Man.
Mm. Oh, what a character. Also, Jared Leto, now he's Skeletor. What did you think of his performance? Because, I've seen a lot of people dressed up as Skeletor and got to say, it looks impressive.
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of Jared Leto, but it turns out when you can't see his face or hear his voice, he's excellent.
That's a good point.
Skeletor is by far my favorite part of this movie. He's just awesome all throughout. His design, his lines, everything about him is just epic, and I can't tell you how happy I am to see something so different on my screen. Like, he's just evil, pure evil. No, like, redemption. There's no, here, feel bad for him. He's just bad.
And I must say, he does play those sort of parts really well. Like, he can really get into a character, and you either don't like him or loathe him, basically, but he plays the role so well.
He does, and he doesn't. And what I was really happy with was his voice. Like, in the He-Man thing I watched, his voice is like, all nerdy and high pitched, and this one has kind of got like very deep, like, and it's got presence, and it was just added so much more to the character.
Mm. Well, speaking of characters, Eli, how about costume? Who wore it the best? When you look at the costumes, who was a standout for you, and why?
Definitely Master at Arms. His suit is sick. Everything about it, like, it just turns into weapons. He'd pull off a piece of his arm, and then it was just a baton, and then he'd pull off part of his leg, and it was a gun, and then he'd pull off some of his chest, and it was a flask. So, yeah, it was awesome.
I bet you he had a good time playing this role. I reckon he would have.
Oh, he definitely did, yeah.
Because this is a bit out there for him too, because Idris doesn't play these sort of roles. I don't think I've ever seen him play a role like this before. It's always something that's a little bit, not, I'm not going to say safe, but he doesn't play these sort of things. So,
yeah.
Is there a character that did stand out more so than, like, I know you just said Skeletor and that, but who, I'm trying to go towards Alison Brie. That's what I'm trying to go to, because this is really different for her as well. Like, she doesn't normally play baddies.
Yeah, no. Was she evil in? I think she was.
Yeah, she probably
but
was.
She gets very kind of minimal screen time, but from what she does get is pretty good. But I got to say, I can't stop, like, glazing Skeletor. He is such a cool character.
Because, I actually really liked Allison as Marvel when she played the Marvels. Like, she was brilliant in that. And I've seen her in some other things too, but I can't think what they are at the moment. But I do remember seeing, I must say, the next one of Marvels wasn't that great. But the first one was brilliant. She played that role so well. So I'm excited to see her play an evil role.
Yeah. Well, she's very good in it. As, like, minimal screen time she gets, you can definitely tell everyone in this movie had a lot of fun doing what they were doing.
Do you find the movie to be a bit more nostalgic, or do you think they've gone down the path of trying out something new?
It's definitely nostalgia. Like, I don't see what's new about it. It kind of follows a bit of a cliche, kind of like, whoop, he's got it. Whoop, something traumatizing happens. Whoop, he's the most powerful dude in the universe. And it's just, they're... I had to Google some of this once I was done. It was like so many characters and references and stuff from the very old, well, not very old, like the original cartoons. And there's three post-credit scenes with people that have gotten people who watched the cartoons very excited.
It's good that they've kept to the original script, because as a person who grew up in the 80s and 90s, you want to see that nostalgia. And that's He-Man to us. You know, like all those sort of movies that, you know, we grew up with, TV shows and all those, you need to have them true to the character, because I think if they didn't, it wouldn't have been as big as what Masters of the Universe 2026 has been.
Now, do you think that the movie is setting up the universe for maybe some potential sequels or spin-offs?
At first, it doesn't seem like it. Like, it could just be a one and done, but there are three post-credit scenes that all point to very, very different ways for the franchise. So if they don't make another one, I'll be very surprised.
You mentioned earlier when we spoke about it being more nostalgic, do you feel that, like, for somebody who hasn't been across the franchise and, you know, they need some kind of viewing before coming along to see this movie to understand it? Or do you think they can just walk in and go, no, I can catch up on what's happening?
No, absolutely not. I went with my friend and he knew nothing about it and he loved it. Like, it was just, everyone can enjoy it, but fans of the show will definitely enjoy it more and more. But this, I think, is a great introduction for a younger audience. It's like a combination of Star Wars and Guardians of the Galaxy, which I think was pretty epic.
That's a good combination.
I've got to say, though, I actually like that. And I did the same thing going into Star Wars The Mandalorian the other week, was that going in not knowing much about The Mandalorian and Grogu and things like that, I came out enjoying it, whereas the person that I went with was kind of like, I found some things that were a little bit wrecked for me. And I'm like, okay, because Tibbet James is a bit more of a Star Wars fan. So I kind of think that maybe from the outsider's point of view, sometimes it's good to come into a movie not knowing what to expect.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, my friend loves it now. I told him that it was based off something, and he went, "Oh, really?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's an old cartoon." And he was very surprised by that.
I agree. I've watched The Mandalorian twice now because I've enjoyed it that much, and I'm now watching the series.
Yeah.
So that's pretty big, and I think this will be the same, that this will bring back so many memories when I watch it that I'll go, "Oh, yep, I remember that." Yep, and then I'll be starting to watch past things and go, "God, take me back to that era. That was a good time."
Yeah.
So now tell me, what did you think of the score, the soundtrack? Now, did the music fit most scenes? Did it get you like, oh, like, you know, on the edge of the seat? How'd that go?
Well, I'm a huge sucker for movie scores. Most of my Spotify right now is just scores from movies. And I got to say, Daniel Pemberton, who's one of my favorite composers, absolutely nails it this time again. He combines the original theme from the show with new kind of modernized stuff. And just every time there's just something happening, the music just amplifies it to the next level.
That's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's what you want. Yeah. Because those sort of things, that does get you. The music and movies go hand in hand. It complements each other so well. And even when you hear the song, it takes you back and you go, "Oh, yeah, I remember that movie. That was in that such and such and that." And that's a great thing to have, the memory.
Yeah, absolutely. And just I think the most memorable standout is his first transformation in the He-Man. The music and the visuals hand in hand. It's beautiful.
And you just know they're going to get it right in a movie like this, don't you? Like, you can just hear it.
Yeah.
Hollywood blockbuster. And getting that score right is so important. I mean, Misty, I know for you, like, the importance of Boogie Nights. I know the score in that was really important to you. And I know that when you hear those songs, it brings back memories.
distant now. So, Eli, tell me, if they did go, because you said there's some end credits scenes, would you be there? To watch, say they made a theme, because there's a female He-Man, Shea, that's it. Yeah, so would you now go watch that and then, you know, carry on?
I'd probably push it off at first and I'd probably end up being seated for it.
They'd have to get that role right, I think. They've got it with this, with Nicholas, but, yeah, they'd have to make sure they got it right. Because, yeah, the actor who plays really does. So tell me, we're at that time of the podcast. We now have to open up the freezer. And I would like to ask you, out of 5 Choc Tops, how many Choc Tops are you going to give Masters of the Universe?
I give Masters of the Universe 4 Choc Tops.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
That is a must-see movie this weekend.
Absolutely. The only problem is it didn't get 5 Choc Tops is it does kind of feel like it goes longer than it should. Like, he kind of has 3 separate character arcs and like, all right, there's another one. And the comedy does kind of fall a little flat, but then you're kind of taken away by the visuals and the overall movie in itself.
I think that is the ultimate sandwich, Mr. Lee. That's great. I love it. That's great. Yeah, that's great. I love that. And 156 minutes isn't bad, though. Like, that's a bit over 2 and 2.5 hours, roughly. That's actually quite long.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so you think they could have easily cut that down?
Yeah, easily. Like, it probably easily could have been 2 hours. Like, just he has 3 different kind of, like, whoop, that's happened. What am I going to do about it? And then it just kind of gets solved like that. You're like, you could have cut that out and nothing would have changed.
Well, there you go. Great movie. And also, speaking of great movies, you went along to see Obsession, this new horror film recently. I also caught up with it as well last weekend, and I thought it was great. What were your thoughts on it? Mr. Lee hasn't seen it, but I know you have. What did you think?
Well, I went with my pop, and he and I are definitely big consumers of horror and, like, thrillers in general. And at one point in this movie, I'd never been so terrified in my life. I was crying a little bit.
Oh.
It is. It's freaky. Basically, for anyone that hasn't seen it yet, there's this hopeless romantic. He goes and gets one of these one wish willows. He snaps it, makes a wish that the girl that he really likes will fall madly in love with him for the rest of his life, and she does. It works way too well. And this girl, you'd have to agree, Eli, she is not only is she obsessive, she's dangerous, terrifying. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with her, but she's definitely not right.
Well, if that actress doesn't win an Oscar, I'm going to be very, very angry.
I agree. She's just like, and you know what? Like, how graphic is it? Like, the things she does to herself. Yeah, like, and I have never seen someone so obsessed before. The fact that she duct tapes the door completely at home so he can't get out. Yeah, the fact that she does something to his sandwich. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that happen, and it's a really warped movie. But if you are looking for a movie that's horror, and Eli, you'd agree, great for jump scares.
Oh, unbelievable! And it's like the jump scares happen because they contribute to the story, not like boom, big monster, blood and guts. Here you go. And like, I think what really makes it impact is every time something happens, you can't see the main actress, or it's just her silhouette and you can't see what expression she's making, which I think makes it even more terrifying.
Yeah, and when she screams too, like, she's a lot of the movies she spends screaming. But there is one particular scene towards the end, you won't see it coming, and be prepared to jump out of your seat. That is all I will say. It is a great horror. It's a really good horror.
It is probably the best horror movie I've ever seen. My pop, when we left the theater, he reads Stephen King and stuff before, and he went, I don't think I've ever been that scared in my life. My heart's still going.
Oh, it's so good. And you know what? Got to say as well, I didn't see the ending coming the way it...
absolutely. Well.
Yeah, well, that was
a bit... I'm like, that's interesting. And then I'm like, whoa, right. Yeah. Okay.
It's great. So that one is Obsession. If you do want a bit of a difference to Masters of the Universe this weekend, one to go and see if you haven't seen it already. Definitely a horror. And it's just one of those movies where, if you love gore as well, because there is a lot of gore, a lot of blood. It's just there's a lot of scenes there where you just shake your head and go, wow, that's possible.
And that's why I don't go see horrors, because my heart can't handle those sort of things.
No.
Jump scares are not good for me.
I totally agree, Miss Lee, which is the reason why we protect you by not sending you those movies. Correct. However, that said though, I'm sure Eli would agree, you need to go see it.
No, it's written in my contract. No, my contract says I can't do horrors.
You did last year. You went to see Final Destination.
Yeah, you and I went and saw that, and
so you broke your contract.
You said it wasn't. Yeah, it still scared the living daylights out of me.
Yeah, you've been scared you that much. You went and watched all of them. Yeah, there you go.
Yes, I did. Because then I realised it shouldn't have horror. It wasn't horror. It wasn't horror. Those, but jump scares. Yeah. That's horror.
It certainly is. Well, Eli, just quickly. If you had Masters of the Universe or Obsession, which one right now would you say, if you had to watch again right now, you would watch again?
The worst part is the way Obsession messed with my mind, and I'm still probably scarred from it. I really want to watch it again.
Yeah, it's very good.
At least you were expecting it. If you did go see it, at least you knew what to have.
Yeah, I'm going to take someone who has no idea what it is to it. Yeah. At least I will be prepared.
I want to take Mr. Lee and see how he goes in this particular scene in the movie and just watch his face. I can tell you now. The heart attack will happen.
Yeah. Oh, it would. Definitely.
Eli, been great to catch up with you as usual. Thank you very much, my friend. Have a lovely weekend.
Yeah, you too, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Eli. I really enjoyed Master of the Universe talk more so than the other Obsession talk.
No, you didn't. You were loving it.
Yeah.
Loving it. And you know what, Mr. Lee? Like, one thing I will say, Obsession is good. I mean, there's a sexy scene too. So I think you like that.
Oh. Okay.
That's good for you. We're going to go now.
Yes, I think we should.
Have a nice weekend.
You and, too. Bye for now.
If you want to be a Flick star, come on, it's great fun. Here's the details.
Want to be our next Talking Flickster? Register now at forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.